Hi, and welcome to the Salvation Army Southwest podcast. You'll find engaging messages here, so please go ahead and listen and check out some of our other messages and enjoy what you hear. You can always follow us online on our Facebook page or go to our website to find out more information. Thank you for listening.
Some funny things that I actually can relate to in some of those. I remember as a teenager, that child talking about they'd left their thing to the last minute. My mum was a saviour when I was in high school because I'm very much a last minute person, and I had left a great big project. I think it might have been a science or a social studies project to the last minute, and my mum came to the rescue. I was an absolute bawling mess. It was 9 o'clock at night and I hadn't started, and my mum sat up with me for about 3 or 4 hours to get and just to keep me on track so that I could finish this assignment. So, Mum, I know that you'll be watching probably a bit later on, and I love you so much, and she's done so much for me. But mums do so much, don't they? They have so many different hats on. They have so many different job titles. They seem to be policemen a lot of the time. Those ones that are showed in there about the lie detector. Yes, I can definitely see when my children are telling me the truth, or especially the homework one. Yes, I've done my homework. Oh, really? Have you? Can you show it to me? Oh, I gave it to the teacher already. Okay, so you got it today and you gave it. Yeah, I left it at school. We don't have a dog, so they can't use the excuse the dog ate it. So, but happy Mother's Day, not just to mums, but to all women out there, because there's women who have biological children. There's women that have stepchildren, adopted children, foster children, grandchildren, nieces and nephews. There's people that teach children. There's people that mentor children. And there's so many of you that just care about children. So no matter if you are a biological mum or you have children of your own, I want you to know that God loves you and that God thinks that you are a special creation, because you were put on this earth to care for other people, and that's the basic role of being a mother, is caring for others. So I want to you all to know that you make a difference in this world for our young people and for future generations. So to all women here and online, happy Mother's Day, because I want you to all know that you make a difference in this world. But does anybody here know any strong-willed children? Does anybody have strong-willed children? Maybe you were a strong-willed child. Maybe you still are a strong-willed child. Well, both of my children have quite strong personalities. But one of my children would make an excellent lawyer. From an early age, could articulate arguments and very well-constructed ones. And as she got a little bit older and could write, we would get these long letters with 10 points arguing why we should be considering their point of view. And I love that my children are confident and able to speak their mind. Would prefer that they pick justice issues that are a little bit more important than I do not get enough Wi-Fi, but hopefully as they get older, they will actually be able to speak against things that are unfair in our world, that they would be able to have a voice to speak against things that are not right in our world, that they would actually be able to be confident enough to stand up and speak their voice. Today's scripture is actually about five daughters who are quite strong-willed. They have a confident and they come and plead a case. Now, I have one daughter and that can be challenging. But to have five daughters. Anyone here have five daughters? You've got five daughters. Oh, your mum had five daughters. Your mum had five daughters and one boy. Oh, that poor boy. I think my mum might be one of four or five. I'll have to check with her later. She had lots of sisters and one brother as well. So I actually commiserate for those families that have lots of girls and only one boy or no boys at all. But five daughters. These were five daughters that were raised by a man called Zelophehad. And they came before Moses, who was a great leader, to plead their case for for justice for something that wasn't they didn't see as fair. So we're going to look at the book of Numbers, and we're going to go to chapter 27. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Numbers 27. So it's near the start of your Bible because it's in the Old Testament. So it goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So it's 1, 2, 3, 4th book in the Bible. So we're going to look from verse 1 to verse 11. It will be up on the screen for those that don't have their Bibles with them. And we're going to read about these five daughters that had very strong confidence. It starts, the daughters of Zelophehad, son of Hepher, son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, belonged to the clans of Manasseh, son of Joseph. The names of the daughters were Mahla, Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirzah. Anyone have children by those names? No. They came forward and stood before Moses, Eleazar the priest, the leaders, and the whole assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting, and said, our father died in the wilderness. He was not among Korah's followers who banded together against the Lord, but he died for his own sin and left no sons. Why should our father's name disappear from his clan? Because he had no son. Give us property among our father's relatives. So Moses brought their case before the Lord, and the Lord said to him, What Zelophehad's daughters are saying is right. You must certainly give them property as an inheritance among their father's relatives, and give their father's inheritance to them. Say to the Israelites, if a man dies and leaves no son, give his inheritance to his daughter. If he has no daughter, give his inheritance to his brothers. If he has no brothers, give his inheritance to his father's brothers. If his father had no brothers, give his inheritance to the nearest relative in his clan that he may possess it. This is to have the force of law for the Israelites as the Lord commanded Moses. So how many of you have actually heard of these five daughters before, these daughters of Zelophehad? Oh, only one hand went up. My goodness. Well, that's okay because I had never heard about these daughters up until a couple of weeks ago and I felt really bad. I thought, I've read the book of Numbers. I've read it, you know, probably a couple of times because often when I've, you know, tried to do the whole read the Bible from start to finish, Numbers is one of those books that you get to and you kind of, oh my goodness, because there was lots of son of. And I must have skim read this whole book because this story had never popped out to me before. And it is amongst lots of other names. And there's so many tricky names to say, well, throughout the Bible, but particularly in the book of Numbers, because there's all the different tribal names and all the family names. And I've obviously skim read right past this gem of a story that is wedged in between all this genealogy and heritage stuff. So I found out about these five daughters when I went to an officer's retreat for women recently. And they spoke about these women, and I was most ashamed, but there was quite a few other officers. I think there was only maybe one or two of us out of about 26 or 27 that actually had heard about these women before. So I felt in good company, at least, that others had skipped this story too. But these women were surrounded by so many men, and the genealogies at this time were all about the men in families. And they were the ones who were recorded in censuses, and they were the ones recorded in historical writings. And even in the Bible, we see it's the father and the sons that are recorded in Scripture. And so these women have great significance because they are not just labelled the daughters of Zelophehad. They are individually named and recorded by name, which is so important for that time, because women were considered possessions at that time. They were considered possessions of their father until they get married, and then the family provides a dowry to the husband, and then the transaction becomes that the husband then has the wife as the possession. So women didn't have the rights that we have today. They didn't have the ability to speak up as freely as we do in our time and in our country. There are countries around the world who still have that system where women do not have rights, even today. But luckily, where we live in Australia, women have the right to, we have the right to vote, we have the right to work, we have the right to speak our minds, and we have so many rights. But back in this time, women who were fatherless, so these daughters of Zelophehad, Zelophehad had died, and so these women were fatherless, and they weren't married, so they were single, so they didn't have a husband to provide for them. So these women were very disadvantaged, and they had probably no means of supporting themselves, and so they had each other to only rely upon. And so it took enormous strength for them to do what they actually did in this story. And we see an incredible, courageous bunch of these five women plead a case for justice for themselves. So these five women we see are the daughters of Zelophehad, who was the son of Hepher, who was the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, who was the son of Joseph. And now we've spoken about Joseph in the past, and Joseph was the one who was sold into slavery by his brothers. He was taken out of his homeland and taken to Egypt, and he became a slave in Potiphar's household, but he works his way up, and he eventually becomes the second in charge of all of Egypt. And so this is the great, 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 great grandfather to these girls. So they have a heritage of some very strong background. They have a heritage of a man who overcame great difficulty. And they would have heard the stories, because that's how they passed on information. They told the stories of what had happened in previous generations. Now, these five daughters were in the wilderness, because their father, Zelophehad, was actually in Egypt under the Pharaoh, who was, a very mean man. He had them all as slaves, and Moses had led these people out of, and we call it the Exodus. They came out of slavery. They came out of Egypt. And so they had that story of being rescued from slavery told to them by their father, because their father was one of those people who came out of Egypt. So these five daughters are now in the wilderness with no father, but this heritage of great people behind them, telling them great stories of who they are and who their people are. So they came from a strong family line. So not only is this story amazing because it's recorded this story of these five women, but they are individually named, and that they are spoken in name in three other places. So in Numbers 26, they're individually named. In Numbers 27, which we've looked at, they're individually named. In Numbers 36, they're named individually again. And in the book of Joshua, they're individually named. That's amazing. Four times these women are individually named. That's a lot for them to be recognized. God is telling us that this is significant, that these women are significant. And he is personally interested in each of them, not just as a collective group, otherwise we would probably just have them, the daughters of Zelophehad, but they're individually named. So God is personally interested in each of these women, just as God is interested in us as a group, as his family, as God's people, but he's individually interested in each one of you, just as he was for these five women. So the reason that these women are mentioned in this story is because their father has died, and so the father had no sons. He only had these daughters. He had no sons. And so what would happen in those days is that the inheritance would go to the son, or particularly to the eldest son. But because there's no sons, the inheritance was just not going to be going to anybody. And these daughters come to plead the case that just because Zelophehad had no sons, we should be entitled to his inheritance. We should be entitled to this portion of land. And so these women, with great courage, single, probably young women, went to Moses and pleaded their case. Went to Moses and to the high priest called Eleazar and to all the other religious leaders in front of the whole congregation, to a place called the entrance to the tent of meeting. Now, this was considered the holy of holies. This place, no women could go near. This place, no regular member of God's people could go near. It was only for the religious leaders, those that were considered the high priest and the most important religious leaders were able to go to this place. And these women went with great courage and great bravery to go and plead their case before all these men. They came explaining that their father had right to the land because of who his father's line was and how he had been taken out of Egypt, out of that strong family line. He was of the Manasseh tribe, which came from Joseph's line. So the Manasseh tribe had the inheritance of a particular portion of land. Now remember, they're in the wilderness, waiting to go into the promised land. They weren't in there yet, but these women were pleading for something that they hadn't even seen yet. They were still in the wilderness. They hadn't quite gone into the promised land. But they came with the intention of wanting to keep their father's name alive. This wasn't just a greed thing that they went, I want that land, that man should be mine. They came because they said, why should our father's name disappear? Because obviously the name carried through from the father's line. Why should our father's name disappear just because he had no son? Let us take it on. Let us be the ones that carry our father's name on. So these women were doing it out of honour for their family, honour for their father. And they plead his case. They say, you know, our father Zelophehad, yes, he had his own sin and he died in his own sin, but he was not of anti-God's people. Lainey's talked about Korah because there was a following at that time where there was a rising of people that followed this Korah and they were fighting against God's people. So he said, look, Zelophehad was not part of that. Our father was a good man. He has inheritance. He has the right to this land and we want to carry it on for our father. Moses, being a wise leader for the people of God, listens to these daughters. And he listens to their cry for mercy and for justice. And what does he do? He takes this request straight to God. He asks God for advice. As people of God, when people come to us with their concerns and with their issues and with pleas of injustice, do we take it straight to God? Do we seek God's guidance and direction? That's what Moses is showing us here, that we need to do the very same thing. When people come to us and needing to solve things, where are we seeking our direction and guidance? Are we going straight to God? So the Lord said to Moses that the daughters are right in their plea. Lord, he says, these daughters are right. He rules in their favour. Even though the tradition at that time was that inheritance went along the man's line and to the sons, God intervenes and says, no, these women are right. They have right to this land. They have right to this inheritance. They are entitled to receive what their father would have had. And he doesn't just make this exemption for these five women. God says that this will now be in law. This will be in place for all women who come from fathers with no sons. So he doesn't just say, oh, yes, well, I'll help you five. He actually puts it in place and it now becomes law that changes for all future situations just like theirs. But he doesn't just stop there. He doesn't just help the women. He says in any of these other situations, if there are no women and no daughters and no sons, then it goes to the father's brother. And if there is no father's brother, it goes to the closest relative. God is making provision, and we sang about it in Jehovah Jireh, provision for his people. He's providing for these daughters. He's providing for other future cases. God has an interest in bringing justice and making sure what is right. He makes provision for all these other cases. So effectively, these women are not just pursuing justice for their own case. They are pursuing justice for others that will come after them. And their bravery would benefit so many more. Imagine these women coming before these great leaders. I know when I've had to go to somebody of great authority and great power or leadership, my stomach does a bit of the collie wobble jumble things. Imagine these five women coming before Moses, a great leader, coming before the high priest, a holy man. Imagine how they would have felt. How nervous, but they came with such courage and bravery and stated their claim so succinctly and so in faith, knowing what they were entitled to. And they trusted that God would provide for them. God is showing his care for those who are the forgotten ones, and God does that today. These women could have easily, Moses could have easily said, no, you can't come. This isn't the right time. This isn't the right place. Sorry, sorry there's no sons, so the land doesn't become your family's. You know, he could have easily dismissed it. But Moses heard their story, heard their case. That was his first thing that we can learn from. We need to be willing to hear people's concerns and not dismiss it. And second, Moses took it to God. That's our great example of when people come to us with concerns, who are we going to advise from? Are we trying to fix it ourselves? Moses could have easily just said, yep, this is the law, this is what we're going to do, that's it. But he didn't. He consulted God for direction and advice. God wanted these women to inherit the land. And it's more about, it's not just about them having this physical land. It was about the relationship. Because moving into the promised land was about being acknowledged that you were part of God's people. The land was not just about having somewhere really nice to live. It was about being acknowledged that you were part of God's people and this is the land that he has promised to you. To receive a portion of the promised land, remember they hadn't even got it yet, but this meant connection with participation and inclusion in being part of God's people. They had faith in something that they hadn't even got yet. Do you have faith in something that you do not have yet? There are so many things that we have faith for the future. What is it that you don't have yet that you know that God has for you? Our eternity is one of those things. We have faith that we will be with God forever. But we haven't quite got there yet. We're seeing elements of being with him now, but we are not quite there yet. We need to rely upon what God has promised to us, what we know God has for us. We need to stand like these women and have faith in something that we do not have yet. Are you bold enough as the daughters to come and claim the things you know that God has for you? They were very brave in coming to claim what they knew God had for them. Are we raising our children to be bold enough to speak out about injustice? Are we like Moses, listening to the concerns of people? Are we coming to God for solutions and direction? Are we listening to what God is saying is right? Or have we already made up our minds because we look to tradition for our answers? Because Moses could have easily said to the daughters that the law is that only sons receive inheritance because that was the tradition, that was the law that they had in place. But instead he hears their case and consults God for direction to tell him what is right. If you put yourself in the place of Moses, what happens when someone comes to you with something that is maybe in opposition to what you've always thought? it can make us uncomfortable. It challenges us to rethink why we think or act the way we do. Do we seek God to hear from Him about what is right? Are we listening for the voice of God to give us the revelation? Or do we continue to follow our traditions without question? I've got another scripture that comes into the New Testament, because the Old Testament was before Jesus, and it always relates to a concept in the New Testament. So if you've got your Bibles with you, we want to turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 9 and verse 15, which talks about inheritance, but in a different way, speaking about the inheritance that we have in Christ. So chapter 9, verse 15 says, "For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. Now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant." Our inheritance is in Christ. We have freedom and new life because of what God has done for us through Christ. We've been given an inheritance which is so much more than physical land. We've been brought back into relationship with God because Christ died to strip away everything that kept us apart from Him. Our eternal inheritance is life with God forever in the promised land of the kingdom of God in heaven. We inherit from God because we are His child. And we sang that in our song earlier. We are a child of God. We're going to sing another song in the moment that talks about being a child of God. And some of the lyrics say, "Free at last, He has ransomed me. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Who the Son sets free, oh, is free indeed. I am a child of God. In my Father's house, there's a place for me. I'm a child of God." God has a place for each one of us. As we listen to this song, let the message today challenge you to be bold and courageous, to speak out against injustice, to listen to those who come with their concerns, but mostly to seek God for direction and guidance. May you be reminded of who you are, that like the daughters of Zelophehad, you are a child of God, and He wants to give you your spiritual inheritance, to set you free, that there is a place in my Father's house for each of us, in His promised land, in His kingdom, and in heaven.